You can follow on Twitter. The handle is at DannyCourtenRay1. Danny Courtenray joins us. Danny, great having you. How's life treating you these days?
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Life is beautiful. The sun is shining here in Los Angeles, and I'm very excited to join you on the show.
So as a first-time guest, I always love a backstory. You're from the Netherlands, and of course, you know, Americans just assume you kicked a soccer ball around from birth, but I'm curious, you know, the generation you're from and what sports, be it football or basketball, were you first interested in?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm from Europe, from the Netherlands, and I grew up with soccer. I changed my language, now living for the last 6 years here in the United States. But in Europe, we call it football. So I was playing football as a little kid. So already when I was 2 or 3 years old, I would start playing with the ball. And that's what we're doing, right? It's the global's biggest sport, soccer. And I played a lot in my life. Unfortunately, I didn't make it to a professional level, but I still had so much passion for sports. I launched a couple ventures in the last couple of years, and one of them is WannaHas. I became a partner in that agency to assist the company 433. And 433 grew out of the biggest soccer community in the world, so I was very grateful to work with all the big brands like FC Barcelona, Real Madrid, PSG. I'm a business partner, professional soccer player. And that company actually went so well that we launched it and launched the second office in New York City. So I moved 6 years ago to New York with my wife and two little boys. And then we're working here in the States with MLS, with the NBA, with Roc Nation, and then a third office in Los Angeles, where I'm currently are based. And I'm running currently my own investment firm and investing actively in sports, in clubs and leagues. And one of our pillars is also women's sports. Very excited to deep dive a little bit more with you about this specific topic.
You know, your personal journey, which now has you based, as you mentioned, in Southern California via New York, I'm always curious the path that led you to the United States, because you pursued your education, which culminated in you earning an MBA from a little place called Harvard. So kind of give me that journey.
Yeah, no, sure. So born and raised in the Netherlands, as I mentioned, an entrepreneur, built a couple businesses, and one of that company, what I just described, is WannaHas. And the sister company is called 433, and we had around 70 people in our team in the Netherlands, and I was able to scale that company to the United States. So that was the reason that I moved to the United States, first New York City, and working here again, so with an official partner from the MLS, working with the MBA, and then a third office in Los Angeles. But to your point, I graduated from Harvard Business School, so my executive MBA. That was an amazing journey, meeting amazing people there and the professor. Actually, I'm flying tomorrow to Miami to have a Harvard reunion over there with all the people there and meeting each other. I mean, I actually also prepared a couple cases. One is, for example, about David Beckham, how he built his empire, and that Lionel Messi came to the United States, right? Play for Inter Miami, that whole journey. So, it's great to see the people again tomorrow and pick up where we left.
Wow. Sounds like a lot of fun on top of being interesting. Talking with entrepreneur Danny Courtenray. Check out his website, by the way, DannyCourtenray.com. We know women's sports is experiencing a real explosion. I kind of came up with an idea as I invest in the market. Could we come up with some kind of a mutual fund, where be it the WNBA, college sports, soccer leagues, where we could literally invest in women's sports? What do you think of that idea?
Let's do it. I believe there's a big opportunity here. We have a lot of momentum going on in soccer, in basketball, especially now with the WNBA, right? It's so much momentum going on. I think now the most anticipated WNBA season in the league for 27 years of existence begins tonight. There's so much going on. If you just follow the news, the Katie Clark effect is really there. You see the expansion, the ownership group in Toronto. What's happening? That's the 14th team to enter the league in 2026. The next season, a Bay Area franchise will also become part of it. We will go to 16 franchises in a decade. But for the context, that's still about the half of the amount of the teams that are for the male counterparts, right? So for the NFL, 32, NHL, 32, MLB, 30. So still, it's still a big difference. The NWSL has currently 14 teams. But if you look just from an investment perspective, I believe there are a couple things that make this still an interesting asset. So I think one, I'm looking always at these things just from a business perspective. So how many revenue streams are coming in? 6, 7. The media rights are locked in normally for 8 years. If you look at the NWSL with the NBA, WNBA, we're also now looking to renew the media rights. They're looking to double that. That's Katie, her objective, the commissioner from the WNBA. But for the rest, there is a scarcity effect, right? There are X for the, just I just mentioned the numbers, the NWSL now 14 teams that will not go to 30. So that's a part. And I think one important thing is the corporate sponsorship. So we were talking with a club, and they, I cannot mention the name, but they told me that they closed the deal for corporate sponsorship. It was 2-3 years ago. They paid $100K to be a shirt sponsor. That's just insane, right? That there's so much more upside possible from that perspective if you look to the men and the viewership. If you look at the viewership, since 2019, we went up with 500% in the NWSL. So long story short, I believe there's so much more upside possible. I think still you see the valuations went up, right? Angel City FC is now $185 million. San Diego was $120 million. The team, the Portland Thorns, was for $63 million. But I still think there are opportunities. So we are excited about the space, and we're looking at it. Actually, right now, we're doing due diligence, and we're actively investing in women's sports.
You know, even though we just saw historic TV ratings, you know, with Caitlin Clark and the college tournament, one of the major issues the WNBA or other women's leagues ran into was, for the most part, Danny, when you flipped on the TV, the sports coverage would be men, maybe a woman's sport, men. So would it be accurate to say we've seen recently if the media made the time and coverage investment in women's sports, that increased visibility would equal continued growth and, you know, if you're going to make the pitch, thus equal more revenue?
100%. That's, look, attention also where the money flows. So I and that's the big thing what we're now seeing. There's much more attention for women's sports. Again, Engelbert said that the WNBA goal is to double its rights fee intake, and I think it's possible. Currently, it stands, I think, for roughly $60 million annually. But there is so much more upside from that perspective possible. So that's where it starts, right? I think that's where we need to increase the viewership. But, yeah, if you look at those numbers, they crushed it in the last couple of months. And so there will be much more and much more money flowing in and viewership from my perspective.
Talking with Danny Cortenrade, he's an entrepreneur. And like I said, go to his website. You'll learn a lot. I only have a 3-hour show. I can't get into everything you've done or involved in. So talking about what we just saw, historic television attendance figures in college, there's this philosophy you got to strike while the iron's hot. So what do you think the NBA, the WNBA can do to kind of capitalize on all this interest in eyeballs and to kind of keep the fan base growing? And like I said, I hate to say it, but a lot of times it comes down to, you know, how could they make more money?
Yeah, so what we see, the women elite sports will surpass 1 billion in 2024. That's what we expect, right? If you look at those reports, if you look at the revenue forecast, commercial revenue is 55%, so that's clubs, central sponsorships, retail, sales, those kind of things. Broadcast revenue is 27%. And so through platforms like CBS, ESPN, Amazon, and then match day revenue, that's 18%. So there, couple of things what can happen, right? I think there's on all those different pillars we can increase it. And you see already higher ticket prices, right? They already increased substantially. The broadcast revenue, I talked about that. Katie, I spoke with her a couple of weeks back here in Los Angeles at the Sports Business Journal event. They want to double that. And then the commercial revenue, there's a lot of things possible from that perspective. So the audience engagement growth, that's what we want to see. And I think a person like Caitlin Clark, that you see, she's much bigger than just WNBA. She's that superstar. What can make change it also for, and I think that's also what I'm doing with our investment firm. Yes, we're making money. Yes, we're making great investments, but it's also to make dreams come true for those younger girls, right? How I was supporting Ronaldo or big athletes in the soccer space, and that was a dream for me to come true. You have those younger girls who are now supporting a person like Caitlin Clark, and I think that's the bigger thing what's happening here. We can make those dreams come true. They will buy those merchandise and the shirts and want to attend those games. That's the bigger thing what's happening here. It's a cultural impact. If you see people like Travis Scott are showing up to women basketball, you see there is culturally there's something changing, there's something happening, and I think that's super exciting.
You know, the interest in women's sports, be it the National Women's Soccer League, WNBA, you know, there's always been this kind of thought that it was progressive. And when you look at the rosters, there's an international flavor, there's a lot of diversity. But something I read from one of your folks, the release she put out, in order to draw more attention and increase interest, Danny, how critical is it to kind of embrace the various technologies and various platforms? Because one thing for sure, I'm in my 60s. The days of simply flipping on the TV as the main way to catch the action is obviously no longer the only way.
Yes, you're totally right. And that's also where we are focusing on what we're doing with the investment firm. All the innovation that's happening in sports, that's what we're looking at. And if I just speak for myself, when I was watching a soccer game when I was younger, or my dad, we were watching the whole game for 90 minutes. But that's not happening anymore. I have two little boys myself. My oldest, he's crazy about soccer. He's just watching highlights on YouTube Shorts, or he's going to overtime of all those other different places where you can find just the highlights from that game. And in the meantime, he's also doing something different. So it's just they have a different, right? It's a different attention span and different way of consuming content. And yeah, there are all kind of great solutions about fan engagement, what are coming up. If you look at the figures, I think that's just to put things in perspective. The sports technology market in 2021 was $13 billion. In 2022, $30 billion. We're now going to $40-$50 billion, and we will go to $103 billion in 2030. 43% of those investments are going to fan engagement. So everything that has to do, how can we engage the fan? And you have all kind of amazing solutions that are coming up. Again, how is the fan consuming content? Because if you look just at the fans, if you go to soccer or basketball or whatever sports, there are just soccer, let's say Manchester United, 60,000-70,000 people can go to the stadium, but still they have 100 million fans. Those people, how do you engage with them? Not only on the field, but also off the field. And we are talking with amazing founders. They have great solutions to engage with those fans and to also make sure, okay, how can we monetize that? And that's great for the clubs because they're leaning still a lot of media rights. How can we get extra revenue streams coming in? And yeah, and that's something where we're looking at. And then still AI is a big thing in the whole sports world. It's a word that people use a lot. I get a lot of pitch decks and some people just squeeze it in just to get AI in there. And that's, look, we're not following the hype. It really needs to impact the industry. But if you look at players, injuries or for fan engagement, there are amazing solutions out there. So yeah, very excited about the future.
And lastly, I mean, you have kind of a more broad vision of all this. What can you tell us, I guess, kind of connecting it all, partnerships, brand building, and, of course, getting fans engaged to kind of keep this upward trajectory for women's sports we're seeing now?
just if we looked into the future, look, again, there are a couple of things what we are focusing on. That's the sports technology market. Very excited about that AI part where we just spoke about. So let's say, for example, enhanced performance. So there are AI assistant programs to target those athletes in specific needs, reduce injury risks, speed recovery. Those kind of things are super exciting, and that will change the market. I think that's a big part what we can expect. I don't know if that answers your question, yeah. But that's what we are looking for.
All right, awesome. Folks, he's Danny Courtenray, self-proclaimed serial entrepreneur and investor, founder of In Studio Ventures. I said visit the website. You'll learn a lot. It's interesting as hell. DannyCourtenray.com on Twitter. Follow along at Danny Courtenray, R-A-E-1. Hey, Danny, great having you. Fascinating insights and information. Appreciate the time. Be well, and I hope we can talk again down the road.
Thank you so much, Stephen. I really appreciate your time, and good luck with the show.
All right. Thank you very much.